All right. What is going down, everyone? We are here. Dan's laughing at me, but we have a Mojo Sessions with the legendary C. Blez in the building. Yee. We're going to talk all things sports cards. We're going to talk about his social media presence, which is like, what, 35K strong now?
38.
And growing?
And growing.
So we are excited to talk about maybe Franz Wagner. I mean, I don't know if I'm that excited to talk about it, but I want to hear about your PC as well.
Wagner.
Yes, Franz
with a V.
Yeah, yes. Wagner.
Did I not?
Yeah, I don't. I don't know. I don't know what you said, Ray Charles.
God bless. Got him.
Just take my money when I'm in need.
We're in Vegas, so you know, Dougie's got to. You gotta shield the eyes.
You know what? My future's still bright. I need shades, you know? So that's what I'm doing. I got C. Blez in here, and his future's already brighter than ours. So I have shades because I'm blinded by the action.
Well, I mean, apparently C. Blez didn't get the memo. Like, we basically he didn't get the sunglasses. I mean I have sunglasses. Not super bright. It's bright on the back of my head.
People have
said that I have, it's like I have eyes in the back of my head. You ever hear that phrase?
But also, yeah. you wore that yesterday for 12 hours.
Yeah.
The backward sunglasses.
Sure.
And as we were leaving, I think it was what, 10:30 at night, and he went, "Do you see my sunglasses? I've worn these all day. They're super cool."
There.
Like, no, that's not. Yeah, that's not, no, that's not the vibe.
Wait, whoa. Did I actually say, "Hey, Joe"?
No, yeah, you did.
Hey, Joe, bro.
You did,
bro. I'm all about the vibes, but also, damn, my sunglasses are cool, bro.
You did. You did.
I just want to say thank you guys for having me on.
Absolutely.
I respect you guys for a long time. We've known each other since like 2017, probably.
Dude, it's been a while. Yeah. I feel like I've kind of watched you grow up. Like, I remember sitting there at different conferences and you would come up to me and like pick my brain about like shipping and like stuff like that. Like, it's like I've seen young Blez.
Yeah, honestly,
basically progress and like become like the influencer. And I mean, dude, you're the dude, man. Like, people literally, like, you are, lack of a better term, I'm gonna drop an f-bomb, the first f-bomb, you're f-ing rock star, bro.
I mean,
like, you are.
It's I don't
he's speechless. He's speechless.
Yeah. No, I just say this.
Are you guys gonna hug right now, or
like, you wanna... Let me say this though. So as an athlete,
I can relate to this.
I got
well.
Into the industry. I mean, not the industry, but I've been forever like a part of the industry, and I started following people that were breaking. It's how I got connected to you guys. You know, 2015, 2016, yep. We started collaborating and like breaking, and you guys sent me product, and I was in playing and all that stuff, but. You were honestly one of the first people that I followed in your personal account because you had so much fun energy. And I think that was one of the things that the hobby is missing, and not missing, but like the hobby is needing. And I think that's why also that you said, you know, 38, 39, you said 35. Okay, you were very quick to report 38. so you know your numbers.
It doesn't matter that really, much.
But but I think that's like one of the reasons why you have such a big following is that it's cool that you bring so much energy to the hobby. Your content's cool. I've always appreciated watching you, and just from like an athlete's perspective, and now being on the other side as a retired athlete is like. You know, it's fun. You have a huge passion for it. You're very informative, and you're a guy that I like watch. Besides your, you know, your PC, you hype up your PC a lot. But I would say, with Franz Wagner, I mean, God bless. I mean,
but the thing is, I'm not like. I'm just saying what I'm actually doing. That's the thing.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm not like, I'm buying his cards. You could see, yeah.
But,
you go
but
to
that,
my house.
That's what the hobby is all about. Like,
transparency.
Finding,
yeah.
But also finding, because we, since 2015, we have also a PC. And we have probably the biggest, like, we have, like.
Sean Mannion?
Yes. No.
As a company?
Okay. Like, so we basically decided to PC Sean Mannion, 2015.
Oregon State.
Oregon State. Beaver, dude.
I know.
What's
up? I know.
If he ever hits it. We are a huge company.
We have I think we have 50 or 60 of the NTRPAs number to 99.
Wow.
We have pretty much every single one-on-one.
That's good content for you guys.
No, it's great. And we
just
actually
post like the biggest like fail piece.
So what we used to, and we actually
fails.
Okay, well, first off, it's gonna happen. Like I don't know what you guys are talking about. Cause like,
is he even in the league?
Well, I mean, dude,
he was on Minnesota.
I mean,
he played for the Rams, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, who's else?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, I did that and looked at him. Now,
well, I want to peel back the curtain on, you know, the content that you do. Is it something that, like, you know, just for everybody out there that's like, you know, looking to do content, are you like plotting it out, or is it more of like a spur of the moment type thing?
It's all spur of the moment. I can't plan it. That's just like how I am as a person, and it hurts me in some spots, but like it helps me in some spots. I just think that with content, you need to it's all about like timing and reacting to certain things, and you need to just like it when it's planned. To me, it's just like people could tell, people know it's planned, and it's like, oh, this is going to happen and this is going to happen. It's like, to me, that just doesn't keep people on the edge of their seat, like waiting for what's coming next.
Sure.
You kind of have to honestly, like some of my best moments content wise, like that
are when
day,
you're dancing, yeah, right?
Honestly,
you got the dance.
I haven't done one of those in like a month because it was getting too much hype. So honestly,
put it back in the cabinet.
The thing is,
I'm too good of a dancer. I gotta chill this out.
No, and the thing is like doing content and stuff like that. I mean, we've been doing it for a long time. Like, you can't take yourself too serious, right? You got to be able to laugh it off and just basically be like, look, I'm having a good time doing it. I want people to have a good time watching what I'm doing, and just don't take yourself too seriously.
Says the guy with the sports coat and sunglasses backwards.
Doug all of a sudden got super
11
serious.
11 a.m. is wearing a suit coat.
So it's a sport jacket. But Doug actually took his sunglasses off now. So
it's business time.
Do you have?
No, but what patches? You're saying, what you're saying is so important because it fits the image of the industry.
Yeah.
We're in a kid industry. If you're going to be serious all the time, it doesn't mesh.
Right.
Yes.
It's like you don't want to be stuffy, right? We don't want to have like, we dealt with that for the last like 20, 30 years in this industry. We're like, it's people at a certain age demographic and it's just very stuffy.
Yeah.
Like, I love the energy that you bring to the hobby. We need more of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, honestly, it's just like, I just like kind of like when I was like 12, it's like, this is how I would act. Like, it's obviously I'm an adult now, but I kind of just like brought it with me and just like never stopped my passion and just like how I engage with sports cards, because I would go to my LCS every week on a Wednesday and just buy a box of every product. And if I hit the rookie that I wanted, I was going to go crazy. Like, there's videos of me and my brother Scott on his channel Esplez from like 2012, 2011, where I pulled a Steph Curry auto and I'm like running around the house. I pulled a Tim Lincecum patch card.
Ooh,
from Ultimate Collection.
Wow, nice.
It was like the full logo. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I would just go crazy because like it just got me so excited because I love sports.
Which one of your brothers an influence on that? Or do you like were they already collecting cards or just as a family pretty much?
Yeah, we've all been in it consistently, never left for 20 plus years.
Awesome.
Jared is—he's 9 years older than me, so he really would like just read the Beckett and like go to our LCS, which was like 15 minutes from like walk from our house, and he like eBay came up. I don't remember when it came up, but he was on there early. I think in the early 2000s. You guys probably know better.
Yep.
But Scott was more of like the true card nerd. Like, he was the more, like, he was in break rooms like in 2012.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I've had conversations with Scott about that because he would be like at Breakers TV. Like, he'd be at Breakers TV, like buying into breaks. Like, I mean, if you know Breakers,
Wild West.
Yeah, if you know Breakers TV, I mean, we're going way back. I mean, we're going like 13, 14, 15.
But before that, wasn't it just like YouTube, record a video, fill it, and then do it not live?
Yeah, that was, that's how, that's how,
10 minute
increments. That's how Chad would do it.
Chad did that, yes.
Yeah, he basically would do like a promo video, like, hey, I'm gonna rip this case, comment like how many spots you want, and then he would basically record it and then upload it. Like, it wasn't even live.
Not live.
How did you guys? And everyone. So I don't actually know this. Like, how did you? You guys been in business? Mojo Break from 2010, right?
Yeah, forever.
So, how did you guys start?
So we,
what was the origin story for you guys?
The origin story for us, and I'm sure our podcast listen, well, maybe we haven't talked about it in a while, so we got some new listeners. Maybe they're on the edge of their seat right now.
Yeah, but, tell me, Ray.
Yeah.
I don't have the glasses on.
What great content. Jesus, put your fucking... Put your glasses back on.
Yeah. Time to go back on. So basically... No. Me and this guy were, you know, living in a condo, just trying to find extra income, right? We both love cards. It was 2009. We were going through Craigslist, trying to buy stuff, sell it on eBay, right? So buy stuff on Craigslist, sell it on eBay as a side hustle, right? Going to garage sales, side hustle, right?
Yeah.
So I came across a guy that was like selling a collection of cards, and I was out of the hobby. I collected in 86, 87, stopped about 91, right?
Okay.
So this guy had a collection that started at like $500 on Craigslist. 2 weeks later, it was $100. I'm like, maybe there's, you know, a way to make money on this. So I met up with him, jersey cards, autos. And I'm like, this is on cards now? And he's like, yeah, man, it's been, you know, since 2000. Yeah. So I was like, this is insane. So I bought the collection, lost money on that, went in the LCS.
Lost money on a $100 investment?
It was. I just didn't
actually,
know
times are tough.
That was a lot. Honestly, that was a decent amount of money back.
There was a Jim Everett rookie card in there.
Yeah, he got a Jim Everett.
Jim Everett rookie card. So like, it was
Jim Edmonds 1992 Topps gold.
There was a lot of that.
So I'm like, oh yeah,
well worth
$5.
So then I walked into my LCS at like 2010, 2009-ish, and bought Sweet Spot. Upper Deck.
I love that.
Hit a Don Mattingly on my first pack. A Don Mattingly auto bat, like, you know, it's manufactured, but like still, it's like, you know, it's like amazing. So I was hooked. I was in there with the $50 I had a week to spend buying Elite Extra Edition, trying to get prospects. And then we were like, how do we
2009?
Yeah.
So.
Well, no, it was 2010. It was after Trout. So didn't hit
any
Trout.
No, that was Trout's year. 2010 was.
Well, 2010 was Jordan Swaggerty that they had the Magic Johnson auto on his card because they screwed up.
I don't remember that. So and Bowman?
No, it was Elite Extra Edition.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but 2010 was Trout's year, right?
No, we
basically, it was Strasburg Mania.
Yes.
Basically, like, 2010, like, Bowman. And then Harper, actually, in the same product, had USA Chrome cards.
Yes.
In that same set. But
that card,
you guys built your whole entire business off of
Strasburg.
The Chrome.
Strasburg.
The Super. I think it's the most expensive card on eBay I saw on Instagram.
And
Harper.
And that actually is not Harper's.
You see the Luca Zebra?
No.
Some guy's trying to sell it for $2
million. From what year?
No, his rookie. His rookie year from Select. That's, I think, is right now currently the top.
I don't think
the
they had Zebras in 1819.
In Select?
Yeah, they did. So. No.
It might have been second year.
No.
Sure.
Speaking of Luca, we've talked about it a lot. I'm not a Luca guy. I think his cards are like super overpriced.
No, I would highly disagree.
You think they're underpriced?
As a collector? No.
You just said like there's a $2 million card on eBay right now.
No, not that, obviously, but like for Luca though, is like that is the year that everybody got back into it. So I think that everybody looks at that year as being like the hobby is like he is the North Star, you know, just like Mike Trout was for
baseball.
The early, you know, 2010, 2009. It's like Luca is the guy now.
It doesn't matter what he does, right?
No, I mean, it doesn't because like Luca is the card that got everybody back into the hobby.
But
honestly, you
can kind of say that with like Zion as well. Like
everybody was already in the hobby. Like everybody already got like, all right, we're gonna do like for me. So my origin story was like I've been a collector forever. Since I was 6 years old, and all of a sudden, you know, everything's starting to go peak. And we had the pandemic and everything, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, wow, like cards are valuable again, and everything's getting super priced out. And I was like, oh, shoot, let me go back in my collection. Like the majority of everybody that's in, like that came into the hobby at that time, but they were always looking at like, all right, what's the new product? Luca. That's the guy that we're chasing. And so it was like,
bigger than
I think he will always forever be like
the unicorn
for guys that that got back into it, that drove the prices up. Is like Luca's the guy.
Is Luca like this generation's like 89 Upper Deck Ken Griffey Jr.
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
What were 100%. You going to say before? Because Luke is like a big topic for me.
I
think that regardless of what he does, it's always going to be like they're going to have some nostalgia with Luca. And it's like what got them back into the hobby, and it got them back into collecting cards, and it's going to be like the North Star for them.
Yeah, and he's clearly like the 30th or 40th best NBA player. I mean, so it's like, it's not,
well,
you know.
Well, that's the thing. Like, and that's basically what I was saying, is that like...
He's no Franz Wagner.
What? Yeah, he's no Franz Wagner. Actually,
I would say
Franz Wagner... is a better investment than Luca at this point.
He's the new Luca.
Yeah. But, I mean, you couldn't even have a conversation and try to get some of the stuff that you've gotten from Franz Wagner, Luca, like equivalent. Like, basically, it's like insane, right?
He's saying the same cards, like I'm getting him for like 50x less.
Exactly.
Yeah,
more.
So, like, it's kind of a no-brainer, right? If you believe in Wagner,
but
like,
and Sean Mannion. I mean,
Sean Mannion, future Hall of Famer. I mean, you just got to, some guys you got to give time.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
you have
like, they'll figure it out.
Let me ask you this, though. So do you have a guy every year that you're like, hey, he's going to be my PC this year? Or how do you go about picking, like, how did you come across Franz Wagner and be like, this is going to be my PC this year, and I'm going to get every
That's
top
a good question.
Card in.
That's a great question. Back in the day, I used to pick up like a few players every rookie class because it was more of like a mathematical, like I'm going to make money because if I just like do these raw to grade, it was pretty easy back then. But now I think the singles game has changed a lot. So I think that I'm going to be picking players less frequently. And like it might not be every rookie class. It might take me two or three because... Like Franz, I'm not going after someone as hard in this new rookie class as Franz because I haven't seen enough yet from a player that I like. So it's like, and in football, it's like the risk is just a lot higher now than it used to be. So it's like, I'm not just going to, you got to be protective over your money because you need it to fuel more card purchases. So I'm trying to figure out what the new way is that I want to go about like investing in singles. I think in the last like year or two, it's been less volume than I usually do.
Yeah.
But I'm also like kind of new to the whole like investing in singles, like not new to the hobby, but like as an adult who had like some money to invest, it was too easy when I was like 22, 21. It was just like put money in and it's worth like so much more. Mm-hmm. But now it's like that I have some money saved up. I want to like be more protective and make sound investments because honestly, like I did a lot of stuff in the last year or two that I like don't think was the right play. I wouldn't say I regret it, but like I used to only do raw cards and grade them. And then I got caught up in all these shiny high-end cards and slabs, but honestly, I think the way to go is to just do raw because you have such a big opportunity for margin when you're buying raw cards because especially on like the Prism, Optics, Select, Mosaic type cards.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you get a raw card that's 50 raw, you know it's going to be 150 and a 10 and you have a decent eye to kind of know what's going to be a 10. If the card could go up from 150 and a 10 if you buy it as a graded slab to 300, but if you do that raw, you're paying 50 to 300 instead of 150 to 300. So you just have a chance to kind of make like a double margin when you're doing raw. So like honestly, like with Luka Doncic, like you say, he's the Griffey because he has unlimited Prism base cards.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a card that I made a lot of money on because I would buy them in quantity at the 2018 National. They were $15. Tens were going for $65, $75, which at the time was a high multiple. Because that was like a 4 or 5X.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like 2, 3X. But I bought as many Luka cards as I could. And I'm also a proponent of like selling earlier rather than later in terms of something that is like less collectible and something that's... Like if you have a Prism Gold, you don't need... You can like sit. But if you have base cards where there's 10,000 copies, you kind of have to monitor it a little bit more.
Sure.
So I would like... These Luka cards, they were... 65, they're going to 100, 200, 300, 500. And honestly, I sold most of them at like in the 550 range. But then they went all the way up to like 2,000 when they played the Clippers in the playoffs in the bubble. when he at game six, he had like a step back three.
Yep.
And it's like at that point, I had a ton of Luka cards, but I didn't have any of the base cards because I sold them on the up because I knew it was a risk to keep them.
Yeah.
So you kind of want to like, a lot of people get caught up in like a player to buy. But honestly, I think it's turning more into like which set, which specific card, because I think in the modern day hobby, you can buy players that successfully pan out and still lose. You have to pick the right card that is actually going to mature in value. And
we talk about that a lot. Like you focus on like the flagship brands.
Yeah.
And I love how you said that because like, at times, it's almost more about the product than it is about the player. Like, you know Prism, year in and year out, is going to have value. So you don't have to hit a home run on those said players because the value is actually in the product.
Yes. I mean, is it a fair assessment? We've talked about this before, that almost 90% of the time, beyond the rookie class, like their second year, it's down. Right? Like, there's only a few players that actually goes up beyond their rookie class, like their rookie year.
It
was a bad time for me to sell Luka after he won the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
The top guys.
That's the one guy.
No, that's a really good point. Yeah. And in breaking terms, too, it's like year two, when they come out, if they're bad, they tank hard. So it's like, in breaking terms, it's like year one, everyone wants to buy every single rookie because they have a chance. But then when they come out year two and they shit
it's like
the bed,
prospecting, honestly, for Bowman.
You can't sell those teams.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It's crazy.
And that happens like, more often than not. I mean, look at like Zach Wilson. We're all chasing Zach Wilson.
Everybody in that class, like, I mean, you look at Zach Wilson, Mac Jones. I mean, Mac Jones cards amazing.
They went down 80% year two.
When they first came out, it was like everybody was like, shoot, he's the next guy. He's the next Brady. Because you could see, like, oh, Belichick, all this stuff. Like, it's always about, like, the hype.
Yes.
But then you get a guy like Jalen Hurts. You get a guy, not Trey Lance.
Tua rose.
Well, he rose because he finally had a good year. But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what's exciting. It's so different than what I think. Like, for me, when I got in the hobby, it was like, I've always been, like, people would be like, what's your PC? I'm like, honestly, like, just Bowman, because I love the idea of pulling a card, getting an auto, getting a whatever. Like, you could get, like, you know, you get a refractor, you get a green, you get a gold, you get, like, an orange, right? And you don't know. And it's just like, as long as I get a hitter, it's great.
And it's like, and then four
years later, I go through that whole entire, like, sleeve that I have again of, like, all my colored Bowman and be like, all right, has this guy made it? Has he done it? And so it's like almost opening a pack again.
Yep.
Yes.
You're right? And that was fun for me. Analogy. But like you're seeing that now with football. You know, it's like
the NIL.
And also like I think you're seeing with the football, you're seeing with basketball. And I think everybody's coming back to like, all right, the chase is there initially, right? So you have the top guys that are coming out every year that the initial chase.
Yeah.
Just like Bowman. And then all of a sudden like, hey, we have, you know, Siakam, you know, he was a guy that was like a second round pick, and it was like all of a sudden, like his Prism year, he didn't have any product.
It was Ben Simmons. Now it's clearly probably Siakam.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
You're like, yeah, exactly. Like it was like Ben Simmons that year, and then also like D'Angelo Russell, and also like, and all of a sudden you're coming back and be like, oh shoot, do I have actually like Siakam? Like you're coming back to that whole thing. That's where I think is for the hobby is like the more you guys can have. Guys that are like second round picks in the NBA draft like a sixth round pick that hits it like this year. Like that's why I'm a huge proponent of this year's draft class just because of Brock Purdy. Like you get a guy that is going to be a starting quarterback that was a seventh round pick that now everybody knows it, but also like you get, you know, with contenders, right? We're watching contenders. Like, everybody's always chasing the on-card autos. And it's like, after that on-card auto comes, like, everybody is like, oh, shoot, the product's done now. But now, with Purdy being a sticker auto, it's like,
I have a chance.
Like, oh, yeah. I don't care. I got Sauce. Like, it's good. Like, Sauce is a good, he's a good chase right now. But I could still get my next four autos could be Purdy.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, that's what's exciting for me.
It's exciting, 100%. Yeah. Like, go back to 2012, it was RG3, Andrew Luck. and then the non-Hall of Famer Russell Wilson right. that yeah. came later.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa,
no, Russ,
whoa,
shut
whoa,
up.
Time out. Russ like you no, say, he was a, he, you, yeah, say you say big. You say non-Hall of Famer.
Well, we know on the podcast that's what I mean. That's for, the stance I take. But what I'm saying is that
Russ
that he's a he was a third rounder, right? So like Matt Flynn was there as the guy, and then later we find out Russell Wilson. Caught fire.
Russell Wilson, generational talent.
No.
Like, we're going to look back and go, like,
non Hall of Fame.
That's a tough one.
Dude. Why are you looking at me like that? Dude, you guys act like Russell Wilson is a scrub, dude.
They'll put Pete Carroll's bust
in his
Hall
of Fame. He's ruining his image right now. This year is big for him.
But he has already achieved so much that, like, it doesn't matter what he does.
They were elite defensively. So it's like, when you look.
Okay. So do you believe Russell Wilson retires? In 2 years, is he a Hall of Famer?
No.
It's a good question.
No, I mean, not. I wasn't asking you guys.
He probably is.
Yeah, because you're a smart guy. No, I mean, you understand.
Yeah. But he probably is.
So Trent Dilfer, Hall of Famer, then, right?
Dude, are you actually going to sit here and talk into a microphone and compare Russell Wilson to Trent Dilfer? Like, are you like?
There's a lot of parallels.
Dude, put your glasses back on.
He's
dude.
More like, similar
just
to like
go
Drew
to
Brees.
Go to bed.
He's closer no. to Drew Brees.
No, because Drew
than Dilfer, but it doesn't.
Drew,
no, but no, Dilfer but benefited Drew. From a great defense and won a Super Bowl. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
I didn't watch him. I can't speak on that. But I want to say one thing.
I don't know if anybody did.
I want to say. Usually what I noticed is the number one chase when a product comes out eventually won't be.
Yeah.
So it's like in Bowman, Dominguez, and then it's Volpe.
Yeah.
It's like it's Zion, and then it's Ja.
It's a great point. Go back to 17 contenders.
The number one chase,
it wasn't Mahomes.
It's never the same 2-3 years down the line.
But that's what makes a product fun, though.
Yeah.
When you have draft classes that are, like for me, like a guy that just like is a collector – and got into the hobby and just like, I like collecting. It's fun going back to be like, oh yeah, I ripped a ton of 17 contenders. And like, yeah, we were going for, you know.
Deshaun Watson. Actually, yeah. And I remember there was a
And
week.
Then all of a sudden be like, oh, wait, I might have some Mahomes, you know? And then going back to your
Perfect
collection
example.
And be like, well, shoot, like he was not the chase, obviously. He was a first round pick, but it's
he
like
wasn't
a
even
different
the chase on his own team.
No, exactly.
He wasn't even.
Yeah. I've seen some of those breaks. Yeah. Some of those breaks is like
Kareem Hunt.
Some of those breaks, like I saw some guy that broke and pulled the cracked ice contenders auto, and he was like, oh, I don't know. I mean, Alex Smith is playing really well. You know, he's like, yeah. I don't know if he's ever going to see the field. And all of a sudden, he's like a generational Hall of Fame, one of the best quarterbacks ever. And so that for me is like what. Always is going to drive the hobby. And that's why I've always like loved Bowman because of that reason. Like I've always loved breaking baseball.
Yeah.
And that's what got me into the hobby again. But I love seeing now as the hobby's getting longer and longer is like football and guys that are, you know, I hate to say this, guys like Russell Wilson, you know, guys that
he's a good ball player.
Guys that are like, you know, third, fourth round quarterbacks.
Kirk Cousins. Like
you know, like Cooper Kupp. Yeah. Like, who the heck was breaking Prism and being like, oh, I got a Cooper Kupp.
But the thing
and
is,
all of a sudden, he's like, he's an unbelievable generational wide receiver talent.
And it's
like awesome to get that. Like, and going back always, I think for me and for every collector is like, going back in your collection, that's what's so fun. Is like going back, and I would say too, like making sure that you keep, because I think a big thing too now is like, hey, you're gonna break with Mojo, or you're gonna break with Blez, like you're gonna break anything, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, just send me the big cards, you know, like don't send me the base, and all of a sudden like you're missing out on some guys that are like third, fourth round picks. That are going to be the guys in 4 or 5 years, you know?
Yeah. No,
that's
I mean,
what's always been fun for me.
At baseball, you have a lot longer time, right? I mean, with Bowman, they're in the minors, you know, you're following them up, you're looking at their stats in the AAA, single A, whatever
it
is.
Yeah, it's fun.
And
no, I mean, going back to that as well, like going back to 2010, I remember this specifically because this player did not have any cards in any product. He wasn't in Prism. Victor Cruz. Victor Cruz had an auto in plates and patches. And that basically,
NT, he didn't have the RPA.
Yeah.
He had the vertical. Yeah, auto,
but before NT came out, he literally plates and patches was the only thing that he was in. And that card, literally, you wouldn't even think about it. You're just like flipping through it, whatever. That ended up becoming like a $200 card, which was like ridiculous at that time. Like to pull like a no name rookie auto.
It's and like Purdy in this class.
Because it was Austin the only Reeves. Auto that was in the market. Yeah. Like Victor Cruz was like a chase.
And you know what? I actually like to circle back around with the Brock Purdy situation that I think because the hobby grew so big and they needed to make more cards is the reason. You know, because we could be in a situation where if we went back to like 2012, they probably wouldn't even sign him. You know what I mean? Because it's like you're going down the list. They're like first round, second round, third round. Probably not going to sign him.
But they've, but
because
they've always
make more now. He got into the products.
But he's not in everything.
He's not, but he's in
which
the.
Is, which I think is good. I mean, from a collector standpoint, like, you guys are breakers. You guys are in the hobby. Like, but as like a personal collector, I think it's awesome that, like, you know, you're not gonna open everything and you're not gonna get a Brock Purdy. He's not, you know, obviously he's like in this draft class, he's the chase that you're gonna try to like go for. But like I like that. Like it's exclusive for you're checking the checklist every year and the product and all that stuff. Like I like that personally.
Yeah.
Which drives
makes it more limited, right? I mean it's like look like Brady. I mean Brady wasn't even in like four or five products, you know? So you know, obviously Purdy's in more, but you know, it's a situation where it's like,
I mean, quarterbacks, like when it comes to football, quarterbacks, they usually get in the product. Like Brock Purdy, regardless of what happened, like in this year, like he was going to be in contenders. Like he was going.
But contenders now, is the deepest by
now.
Far.
He probably probably
that's the Bowman of football.
He probably wouldn't have been in other products. They definitely did. I give Panini a lot of credit for like figuring it out and getting him in products.
But like, he was like in select draft picks, right? Like that was like wouldn't happen in 2013, right, or 2012.
Well, they didn't make that stuff.
Yeah, they did.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. So it's
so 100% would not happen because they
you
didn't
guys are much more knowledgeable in this. Like, why? Okay, so for the top of the line stuff, top of the line products, obviously they have a set checklist that they're going to do from get go, right?
The photo shoot.
They have, they have you know, first, second round picks, all that stuff.
You're saying like immaculate NT. Flawless.
Yeah, all the top of the line. Like, why? No, NT, he's in. I think Purdy's in, but.
But because I think
why did they not just do like? Why didn't they do like redemptions? Because they know that Purdy's the guy that everybody's going for in this draft class. Like, why do they not?
I think they had to secure a deal, and they don't put a redemption in unless they have a deal. And I think they only had a deal while he was a seventh rounder, right? Like right when he got drafted, they signed a sticker deal, I'm sure, right, for a couple dollars an auto or whatever it was. So now it's like we're not going to put a redemption out unless we get him to sign a deal. So I think. He did sign a deal for NT and stuff like that, so they were able to secure that, obviously probably at a higher rate now because of what he's done in the field. But, you know, I think they want to make sure that if a redemption goes out, they have a deal in place. So if they don't have a deal in place, they're not.
Well, yeah, because if the redemption goes out, then the player and the agent have all the leverage, right? They're like, you need us to basically sign these cards. And now it would have been $3 an auto, but now it's like $300 an auto because we know it's in that product. Like you need us more than we need you.
But I don't know if they do know because people are coming around to the hobby obviously more now. But like I think they honestly just like blindly signed and like they didn't really know anything.
Yeah,
like the agent and stuff. Like no one knew anything.
Well, I think it's also a part of their. PA agreement when they get drafted is that they're going to do like if you're a skilled position player, you're going to be in the rookie photo shoot. Like that's part of your agreement with the Players Association. You got to show up. You're going to have to do X amount of appearances, X amount of autos. And that's that's why you don't see like veterans in products as much.
I know working with the agency side, I mean, my other job is work for an agency, and so they're what they do is most of the guys that are coming out of the draft class and like going into the rookie year, they have all that stuff set up before they even get drafted, and then they don't address it until after year one,
right?
You know, so it's like a Brock Purdy in that situation as being a guy that's like, hey, you're going to be like a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick.
Right.
We're going to sign you to, you know, leave. Hopefully we can get you like 1,000 stickers with Panini and
from what I've heard.
Whatever. But it's like, yeah, it's going to be like, hey, and as a player, you're like, oh, shoot, like, I'm going to sign, you know, some, like, I'm talking about linemen side, but like linemen, they're like, because that's mainly what I work with, is like linemen are super happy to get like, you know, 50 cents a sticker, you know?
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, like, you know, Brock Purdy's going to get probably like $2-3 a sticker. Yeah. But you negotiate that deal before you get drafted. And then after your rookie year, that's when you renegotiate. So it's a year based yep. stuff.
And what I've been told too is a lot of times if you're not a first rounder, you don't get your check until game one. So there's what, 4 or 5 month period where these guys have to pay trainers, right?
Yep.
They have to pay all this stuff. So the Panini deal or whoever they're signing with is their money at the beginning. So they're like 10,000, 100,000 autos. Like you're gonna get, you know, so I can have some cash to not only pay my guy, get myself some clothes before I get my first game check, you know?
Yeah.
So I think Panini does a good job of getting it early, but like, I think you see like a Julio Jones situation where he had redemptions in 2011.
He still didn't sign.
He didn't sign because I think he valued himself more than the deal he signed.
Okay.
And he was like, I'm not signing.
Well, I'm not signing
at the end of the season. I'll sign at the beginning of the season because I need the money. But now that I'm this talent.
I think, speaking of Julio, I think we like pulled his like certified one-on-one RPA as a redemption like 2 years
probably
ago.
Probably the only card he signed.
You can't get it.
Yeah.
you're still waiting on that redemption.
And I think,
they're going to send you a $2 card. Yeah. Be like, this is a fair trade value.
I think Doug's onto something. So, Myles Garrett. Anybody ever see a Myles Garrett auto?
Nope.
He didn't sign.
No, let me ask you this though. From the hobby though, like guys that say Myles Garrett, like if he were to be a signer and like you were to pull a NT Myles Garrett RPA, but just like a patch auto, like that's not going to be valuable. Do you guys look at guys that like do you know, Chad, hey, this guy does not sign a lot. Is that a more valuable card?
Sure. Yeah, 100%.
No? Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah.
I think the average hobbyist does not know. So, hey, there's a lineman that does not sign.
So
the people who want his cards, they know.
If Panini came out and they're like, hey, we're going to release Impeccable, whatever, just draw a product. And they're like, we got Myles Garrett to sign. That would...
It's too late now.
But no, even now, though. Because he's never been in anything, people would be like, there's collectors out there that would be like, that is what we need to figure out. Like, you look at, like, Transcendent, it's like the same autograph, guys. Like, there's only so many guys that you can get on the subject, and it's the same guy. So, year three, year four, year five, it's, like, redundant, right?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, Wade Boggs, Don Mattingly, great players, but, like, it's in every release. If you have somebody like a Myles Garrett, never signed before, that would add value
to that
product.
But they need to hype it up as like, it's his first product that he's going to be in.
Regardless of
But I think that should sell, though, because he's so much of a vet now. It doesn't even, like, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
No, it probably sells because that's what I'm saying, though. Like, his image, but I think.
Yeah, there's that.
I think it would be a huge, like, a huge announcement if it was like a one product deal and he had like, maybe.
He's not big enough, but if
that's what I'm saying, though. Like,
but it would
does
it
that drive up the product from an average hobbyist? Does that drive up the product Myles Garrett, a defensive lineman that people are not being like, all right, yeah.
Well, I'll compare this to
great player.
LaMelo Ball is a scenario where he was a redemption in 95% of the products.
Spectra and NT.
Right. So those cards before those redemptions got live were propped up on the fact that those were the only live LaMelo Ball autos, which I didn't sell, which was dumb. I should have, but like you know what I mean? Because now they're coming out.
I can't look at you seriously with this.
Well, I'm putting the shades on because we're running short on time.
Let me answer his question quickly, though.
Yeah, sure.
Because that's a really good question. Like you said, does Myles Garrett affect the value of the wax? And the answer is no. It's like the value of the wax is all determined on like the top overall guys.
Okay.
So like. The reason that like 13, 14 so expensive is because you have Giannis. The class when you take him away is literal dust.
So you would never be like, hey, this is the only product that, for example, it'd be like, hey, this is the only product. I mean, it's not obviously, but like, be like, oh, this is the only product that Kobe signed. No, Kobe's not a bad. He's a bad example.
Myles Garrett's a good example.
Let's
say like it's the only product that Allen Iverson signed.
Yeah, if that was the case. It wouldn't affect the product value. It would affect the card value of that specific
Well,
card.
Actually, talk basketball, you could actually can. There, Damian Lillard was a Leaf exclusive his rookie year.
His NT is a sticker.
So his NT is a sticker, and I think at the first product.
Oh, so the Leaf product for him is high, right?
Well, it was at the time, but so what Brian did is that he leased out for like innovation. I think is what the first Damian Lillard like rookie autos, and that product went through the roof, and it wasn't a great product, but the fact that it was the only Damian Lillard rookie auto you can get. That's what drove
it. Do people still chase it now?
It's all timing. At the time they did, but now they won't because they came out with this redemption pack where you could pull like his NT or his Immaculate and it was a sticker.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's like Austin Reeves on the Lakers.
Yep.
His cards sell insane because there's just not that many. It's like his Prism Gold is like 1,500 to 2K. He's a good role player, but he's not a star. Yeah. But he sells crazy because he's not really in much. But he's not going to drive the value of the wax.
Got it.
But his singles market will explode if he has less cards. But the wax is all based on like the top overall guy. Yeah. Okay. It's just that simple.
100%. Yeah. All right. So I think we're going to wrap it up here. We got a gift for you. So you got that.
The merch.
Merch.
Got that for you.
This can't be for me.
Yeah.
Walking. Hopefully, we have better luck than we had yesterday.
Excuse me.
What did we do? Three boxes yesterday?
That's the most important. Show Joe first. I don't think he's seen this.
Wait, hold on.
This can't be real.
Hold on a second.
For Franz.
That can't be real.
Oh!
What is it, Joe?
Is it you?
It's my second year, but yeah.
Let me see.
What the hell happened to your face?
No way. With the glasses.
So, I did a video on YouTube in 2011 where I wore a giant Snuggie, which was a stadium giveaway, and I was giving away a free pack of Bowman, and I was in the bathroom. Oh, yeah.
That's the big Bowman year.
Yep, that was at Harper. Yeah.
2010.
Yep.
What I love is 2010? On the back it says
2010.
Yeah.
2010. You signed three cards of you as a mirror selfie.
Actually, I think it looks like you signed 10 of them.
Disgusting. Doug Fresh, Snuggie Marketing, like this is awful.
It's an insert out of. It is. Yeah. I mean, it's not the rookie, but it's.
There you go.
I need to ask Chat how pissed are you that you didn't get that you didn't put.
I'm not pissed. I love the candidates that they chose. I don't think that.
You should have been on there.
You should 1,000%.
But it also goes
like,
to
if you're looking at the hobby like. You're a guy.
No, but there's reasons why they wouldn't put me, if you think about it. Like, I'm a breaker, and none of the other people I don't think were breakers.
Mama breaks.
But she doesn't do baseball. She's Star Wars.
Yeah.
And then I'm a little bit more like big league's a product for
controversial.
Kids. It's for kids.
Say it. You're controversial.
I'm polarizing.
Polarizing.
You know what? Your reaction was exactly what, like, I don't want people to get my card and be bummed out. Like, my card's not worth anything. You know what I mean?
No, but you saw.
I want to be in a product one day, and I hopefully I will be.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna Chad. You got Ginter in your future.
That's
the one you want. You want to be in Ginter.
Big league. Honestly, I've never opened any big league before yesterday. But Ginter, I used to rip a box.
Yeah, Ginter is the one you want to be in. Because honestly,
because you can get like.
Because if you're in big league, you're probably never going to be in Ginter.
Same thing. I always open.
Like they're not going to give people who are in big league are probably not going to get a Ginter card because they've already been in big league.
Right.
So the Ginter is the one you want.
The thing with this stuff is like it's so early with like Fanatics and everything. Everybody's going to get an opportunity to do everything. It's just like they were the first ones. So I don't really. It's not like a big deal to me because. They're going to do other stuff down the line that they'll probably include me, hopefully.
It's a great outlook, though.
Yeah, it
we've had that as well. Like it goes full circle, right? Like everybody just it'll happen.
Like
just
Michael
keep on doing
Rubin,
what you're doing, it'll work.
Michael Rubin, he put me in his story and he's engaging in my content and stuff, and it's
that's
like,
amazing.
But he's doing, but it. I'm like one of the first ones with other people, but I'm sure he's going to do it with you guys. He's going to engage with other people. It's just. You don't need to be first. You just You just want to be on the radar yep. of people.
And you had Drake follow you for a minute, right?
He followed me when with the Flawless break. Yep. That was a year ago, and then he did defollow me. But
God bless.
That's something I don't like to brag or anything, but
that's that. Yeah, that's.
I have some good people following me.
Yeah,
like I it's like Trout. He's in the hobby. He follows
yeah,
me.
Yeah, Trout.
That's one. That,
I love
like,
that. That's also a thing too. Is like I love seeing, and that's. For Mojo, it's like the more guys that are like top tier athletes that you can get like part of the hobby, because a lot of the athletes too, like when I first started meeting, you know, Doug and Dan, it was like I was just like breaking stuff in the locker room, and then I would see, you know, players would come around and be like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm a sports card collector, like I like this stuff. And they're like, well, where do you get your product from? I'm like, oh yeah, Mojo Break, like all that stuff. The more you can get guys that, I think that's where the next generation of collecting is going to go too, is like fan engagement.
I agree.
Yep.
But you know, to speak to that though, it's like the beautiful thing about the sports card hobby is we're all equals. You could be worth $1 billion. You could be worth $10. When you're in the LCS, when you're in the break room, we're all geeks for sports cards. We all love it. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. It's like, it's the hobby. Everyone's an equal in this, and that's what I love, because it doesn't matter who you are. It really doesn't. It's like Mike Trout's going to collect, and you're going to go to the Mint, and you're going to see
that's
a kid.
Cool.
You're going to see a kid who's an equal to Trout.
Like,
it,
how
because
cool
of the
was
hobby.
That, though? Yeah. Like, I mean, think about like when we were kids, how cool it would have been to be like, Ken Griffey is a collector.
Yep.
You know, it's the same thing for these kids right now.
Well, I mean,
like,
you have that.
Mike Trout is a collector of cards. Like, oh, I'm.
It's so like many athletes like, collect that don't even say anything either.
No,
it's,
I know,
it's
exactly.
Like Trout doesn't 100%. Really want to be that known, honestly.
Yeah.
Like,
only he does it just because like there's a couple of like opportunities.
He had a video
like PSA and like
collecting
companies that are like, hey, you collect. Let's just like bring brand awareness to it. But like he. You know, he just like this is a hobby for me.
Yes.
Like, I like it, and there's a lot of guys that are athletes that are just like it's fun.
I mean, when you have unlimited money, it's this the sports cards is really fun.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's up. You know what's up.
So I think we're gonna go ahead and wrap. As you can tell, like Doug is gone now.
Yeah,
he went in full panic, full panic mode. Like I've actually never seen somebody get up from a podcast. I mean, I think
it's
Doug,
like he's an elk boy.
I think.
Wait, we have our next podcast.
I'm pretty sure we just got big. We got big time by Doug. Yeah, Doug just big timed us.
Look at his seat, though.
He's not even in the room.
Seat is
so Chad. Appreciate you coming in.
Of course.
Doing a podcast with
Thank
us.
Thank you for having us.
Where could people find you?
Any social media, CBLEZ, CBLEZ, on all of them.
Yep. And
follow me.
Him.
I'm not going to say follow. If you watch
I
my
do.
Stuff, if you like it.
He's amazing.
Follow.
And
He's
because
awesome.
Because
it.
you guys are friends of ours. Pimp out the
Blez.
Let people know like what you guys do and where you can buy spots at and where you guys broadcast.
I have a breaking company with my brothers, Blez Sports Cards. We've been around since 2016. We break primarily on YouTube, and we just have a good time.
And
you want to come?
And you guys also have multiple channels, right? You guys have Blez Baseball.
Yes, we have a baseball channel. It's only baseball, mostly Bowman, but we do the other stuff, and then
do early morning breaks. I see Jared on Facebook. He gets up at like 5 a.m. and he's like driving in and ripping Bowman's best.
did 17 hours of Bowman's
I gotta meet Jared this week. I love that.
Yeah, Jared,
Bowman's
sick.
Best is like my favorite product ever.
You have everybody in there.
Yeah, I know. The checklist is super small. Like you're guaranteed to get a bang.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we appreciate you coming in. You guys do it the right way. I mean. The Blez from a breaking operation. We've again seen you guys grow, and we basically appreciate that we have this relationship, and we've been able to like build not only like be able to bounce ideas off of each other, but like grow the industry and grow our individual brands, and not be competitors, but we truly are like friends.
Yeah.
So
and you guys laid the blueprint for people like us to come in. You guys. We're doing it earlier than anyone, and we kind of like looked at the people who came before us and like put our own spin on it. So we kind of like It's just like in sports. It's like the athletes today owe it all to the people who came before them and helped them to have the platform.
Yep.
Yep.
So it's like you guys kind of like laid the blueprint, which I don't like to, I mean, Blaise, whatever, but and me, like, I just like to be Chad and
yeah,
just have a conversation.
Love it.